Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here today with Dan Taylor and Matt Hengeveld, owners of Monocacy Coffee and of Lit Coffee Roastery and Bakehouse on the south side of Bethlehem. Excited to both have you both here on The Inside Dish.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Yeah, begin with the story of Monocacy Coffee. How'd you two begin working together and end up owning a roastery?
Well, Dan and I have known each other for easily a decade now. Just met hanging out at like various diners around the area while we were in high school, and kind of, you know, weaved in and out of each other's lives throughout the last 10 years. And about, a little bit over three years ago,
yeah.
Both of us really got into coffee roasting, just kind of on our own speed. Like, Dan was living in Lancaster.
Yeah.
He would go to coffee shops like Square One Coffee Roasters, which really takes like a high-end approach to roasting coffee. On my side, I really got into just home roasting, taking green coffee beans, taking it with a Whirly Pop popcorn maker right to the stovetop.
Just you're talking popcorn maker than an air pop popcorn maker?
It's actually, you can do it with an air pop popcorn maker, but this is just right on the stovetop. It has like a little crank on it that keeps all the beans moving inside.
Yeah. I have one of those. I think I'm missing out.
You can pick up some beans over at the shop. You could do it right at home. It's not that difficult, you know. The hard part is like consistency and making sure you're hitting the right sort of like roast levels. And
so you started with that, and then it
And just kind of grew from there. Yeah, we decided. It was actually like a day before my birthday, 2014. Dan hit me up, said happy birthday, and oh, I think we should start a coffee roasting business. and I was like, wow, I've been roasting coffee. And he didn't even know that I was roasting coffee on my own. It was just something that he had witnessed and knew that I was interested in nice coffee, but didn't realize that I was roasting on my own. So cards just kind of fell the right way, if that's a saying.
Something like that.
Yeah, and we've been roasting as Monocacy Coffee Company ever since. Bought our first roaster and went to it.
Take me through the process of roasting beans. I mean, starting from where you source the beans to how you know what temperature to roast at, how you get some of that consistency. Let's kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, we source from like a variety of different importers that some of them deal with, like, only one origin. Like, we deal with one that specializes in coffees from Brazil. And then a few others, they just deal with specialty coffee in general. So we source from them. They send us, like, samples. We try them out. Usually when we buy them, I'll go pick them up in New Jersey at the ports there.
Like the only SUV amongst a sea of
semi-trucks,
tractor trailers. And for this little
but
tiny.
Yeah, so we'll pick it up. Then the roasting starts. We usually do about 15-pound batches on the roaster we have at the shop.
I mean, roasting can be as simple as you just make it hot. It's essentially cooking. It's the same as like you take a steak to a grill, you grill it up, it gets hot. You just need to have the rate with which it is heated properly adjusted so that you are fully developing the interior and exterior of the bean without burning it to a crisp or having it so light that it's vegetal tasting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like just finding the sweet spot with each coffee. You just let's try it once. It's either too dark, too light. You do it again, and then you just keep on honing it in and honing it in and honing it in.
So do different beans have different characteristics? Some take to higher roasting, some lower, some longer, some shorter?
Yeah, certainly. A lot of things play into that, like elevation where it's grown. Usually the higher it's grown, the harder the bean will be, so it can take higher temperatures. Processing has a lot to do with that. There's like natural processed coffees, which is where they kind of leave the mucilage of the fruit, because it's like a cherry, so they leave the mucilage on when they're processing it and dry it in that. So it picks up a lot of the, like, fruitier notes of the cherry.
And the higher fructose levels, the more caramelization takes its effect into the coffee. So Sometimes if you have a coffee with a lot of body, that's from, particularly if you're getting from Brazil, you're getting a natural processed coffee, which is almost like the quintessential South American coffee flavor.
Yeah.
But there are so many different varieties that you can pick from. For example, Ethiopia, which is with like the birthplace of coffee, it's where it wasn't cultivated there, it naturally arose. There are heirloom varietals that have all different types of flavor notes, especially when naturally processed. You can get this deep blueberry richness to it. And I think that's usually like the gateway coffee. People try that one. They're like, wow, I didn't realize coffee could taste like this.
Berries, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know coffee could have fruit notes, but...
Now, how much of the flavor comes from the bean versus from the roast? How much can you affect the flavor?
That's actually really highly debated within the specialty coffee realm. It really depends. We can affect the flavor quite a lot. If we roast it very dark, it's kind of, I mean, the analogy I've been using over and over again, it's like a nice cut of steak. If you grill it to like a very well done level, you're tasting mostly the char from the grill and much less of the natural flavor of that meat. Same thing with coffee. If you roast it too dark, you are more so tasting the flavors imparted by that roaster. There are benefits to that if you are supplying a large region of coffee shop or something like that.
Uniformity.
If you have a crop that's really large, you can roast it really light. But if you have to mix in a bunch of different crops, but you want to attain the same flavor level or flavor notes, roasting darker can help sort of almost give it a blank slate. You taste much more of the char and much less of the natural coffee.
So if you had a multinational coffee house that might have locations everywhere, you might be looking for a roast like that.
Exactly. Right. Like if you have a franchise of coffee shops, not naming any company names, but you may want to roast very dark. But we try to stay away from that. We focus more so on medium light roasts.
Well, let's talk on actually taking the roasted beans into a finished coffee, because even there, you have variables. You have the bean, you have the roast, you have the quality of the water, temperature of the water. There have to be 20 different variables to get a good cup of coffee or cappuccino. Talk a little bit about how you look at those and how you manage those, Dan.
Yeah, it's wild. Like one of the biggest factors is like the grind. You really want a consistent grind, all the particles to be like the same size. Otherwise, you end up with some beans getting over, or some of the grounds getting over-extracted, some of them getting under-extracted, and you kind of get a weird cup from that.
It's almost like playing darts. You can never really hit the bullseye 100% of the time, but you can take certain steps to make it a little bit easier. A good grinder will always help you. It's much more important, especially for people who are making coffee at home. It's much more important to have a good grinder and just a regular old drip coffee maker than have like the $1,000 espresso machine at home. Blade grinder or something like
that's
that.
So good.
I can attest to that. I moved to a burr grinder around 8 months ago. It's one of the best things I ever bought.
Game changer.
Yeah, definite game changer.
How about in terms of the process that you use? You mentioned drip coffee maker. What do you use at Lit, and why do you use that versus maybe other ways of preparing coffee?
For our manual brews, which are things that we do with our hands, like an AeroPress, for example, is a particular piece of equipment we use. That involves steeping the coffee kind of like a tea, and then applying pressure to it. Those two processes and it create something more of a little bit more of a balanced cup of coffee. Sometimes if you have a coffee with more floral notes, that'll come out more so. We also do pour overs with a Kalita Wave system.
And the Chemex.
We stick for if people want a larger batch of like a pour over coffee, we'll use a Chemex. But there's really no wrong way. you could really make a good cup of coffee with almost every type of maker, even a percolator. If you know what you're doing, you can make a good cup.
Yeah.
A lot of times it has to do with the ratios of coffee you use. Like the standard is around one part coffee to 17 parts water. And if you have a gram scale at home, it makes it a lot easier to figure that out.
That's a good investment if you're looking to get into coffee. Get yourself a good grinder and a scale. and you're set.
Yeah. And even beyond coffee, with if you're making an espresso-based drink or espresso or cappuccino, mm-hmm. not just the grind, but even how densely it's packed in there. Talk a little bit about that as well.
Proper tamping. Yeah, espresso is a different beast.
Man. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until we opened Lit Coffee Roastery Bake Shop that we realized the complexities of espresso, because we had machines before that were kind of subpar, but our Electra machine at the shop is I don't know, it's really just another beast. Like when you pull a great shot with that, it's kind of like eye-opening. It's the first thing I do every morning when I come into the shop. I dial it in, make sure that it's pulling the right way so I don't have to do it on the fly in case we have a rush. But a really great shot is just amazing, because it's not just dark coffees that you want to throw through there. Like a lot of times you really just want to focus on balance. And I just had a single origin shot of our Tanzanian Peaberry, a new coffee we have coming in. And it was really great. It had these almond butter notes and just different flavors that, you know, every time you make a good espresso with a new coffee, it's just always a brand new experience.
Are you at the point where you can hit that every time? And same with your baristas, and how long does it take to get to that point?
You know, it takes trial and error. When I'm dialing in, I run it through a refractometer, making sure that, you know, there's a proper concentration of coffee within that shot. Also, we weigh everything out with, you know, espresso is around like one part coffee per two parts water. So much stronger. And so when you make a little mistake, comes out real, it really changes the end cup. So it really just is trial and error, just really messing around with it, see what works. If you like the way something tastes, just keep on at it. And eventually you will find something that's nice.
You gotta try to just be as consistent as possible, and hopefully you get the same results. Right. You know,
we've got around 1 minute left. Tell me what your plans are for Lit and what you hope to accomplish there.
Lit, it was just kind of happenstance that we met with Melanie Lino, who owns Made by Lino Bakery. She was looking for a brick-and-mortar spot. We were looking for a brick-and-mortar spot. So we just said, hey, let's combine forces, create Lit. It's been going great so far. Really, I want to just embolden the small producers like ourselves. As of right now, I think the last time I looked, there has been about $10,000 we've been able to invest into our community, whether it is through Jet's Produce or through Sweet Dough Bakery or Stark Juices, all these local companies that we utilize within the shop. Even all the furniture in the shop comes from local crafters, local artisans that, you know, in the end, we want to put an eye on all the talent that's coming from this area. And that's pretty much where I want to keep on pushing towards. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on in the Lehigh Valley that we can focus on. And I really just want to be a part of it and serve as a hub for some of the people who might need to step up.
Well, that's why we do the show. Yeah. So, thank you both for coming here. Best of luck with Lit in the future here.
Thanks so much,
Michael.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.